The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary. And it's your turn. It's Ask the Pastor on KFUO Radio with phones open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest today, Dr. Victor Belton at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Mr. How are you?
Doing fine. Good to have you with us today.
Always my pleasure.
Sounds like you're on a speakerphone and you perhaps have someone else in the room with you there.
Absolutely. In 2005, well, actually back in 2000, we developed a relationship with Sudanese in Metro Atlanta. The leader of that group was an evangelist from Sudan named Bafel Paul Dang. And Bafel Dang was ordained in 2005, went back to work in Sudan, and is visiting with us. He is currently the Director of Religious Affairs for the Upper Nile State in Sudan, Africa. And I thought since he was in, and since we're on the Bible study, it would be interesting for listeners to hear how the work of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod really is impacting peace throughout the world because of what we do in training and equipping the people of God.
Pastor Dang, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing?
Good to have you with us today. I'm not a pastor. I'm a lay person. My name's Paul Clayton. Good to have you on the air with us. And I might add that we'll open up the phones between the two of you and our listeners at 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Do you get here to the States very often?
Yes.
Do you get to the States very often? He actually has been in Sudan for about the last year and a half, working on peace between the Muslims and Christians in the emerging new state of South Sudan, emerging new country of South Sudan.
And that's this is brand new. When will that be established, or will it? Is there going to be a civil war?
No, we are not going to have another civil war. But we are now waiting for the Southern Sudan to celebrate the independence in July 9th.
Are there some oil fields between Northern and Southern Sudan that may be a point of contention?
No.
There are no oil fields between the North and the South that would cause any contention at all, no.
So how have negotiations been going, Pastor Dang?
All the negotiation is now ending, is going to end, the peace process is going to end in July 9th, the independence.
And you've been there in on the ground floor of this movement, I suppose.
Yes, I have been there for almost 22 months.
Are the populations of both of these territories in agreement?
Yes.
And it's Pastor Dang's responsibility to make sure that the communication stays open between the Christian and Muslim elements, so that civil war or jihad is averted in South Sudan. And he works with the training that he received at Concordia Theological Seminary in Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, under the Ethnic Immigrant Institute of Theology.
Pastor Dang, do you receive a certain level of respect and maybe a better connection between two factions because you are a pastor? Is there a higher level of trust, do you think?
Yes. Recently, I went to Sudan in April 21st, 26th. We had a workshop there in Khartoum. So I was invited by Sudan Interfaith Religious Council, leading by a Muslim guy. And his deputy is from Catholic Church, so it's a combined interfaith group.
So you're working with a counterpart who's a Muslim.
You're working with someone who's Muslim.
Yes, we are working as a group together. It's interfaith. Yes.
Now, can the Muslims that you are working with control more extremist Muslims that may still be in the area?
Actually, I want to make sure that the Muslim understands Christians. They have to understand our faith. And also, it's a kind of reconciliation so that we don't have to have a holy war between them, because in the northern Sudan, we are going to have a new state that is called Sharia law, and in the South Sudan we are a secular government. That is the religion is free, the Muslim are free in the South, rich, and also Christian are free, but the Christian are not free in the northern Sudan.
So, do you look for an influx of northern Sudanese Christians to make their way to the south, or will they just have to deal with it up there?
Actually, they are free to come to the south to preach their religions, and we don't want to prevent them if they want to come, and also we go to them also.
More Christians from North Sudan are coming south because they are free. In the south to the exercise south. Their Christianity, though. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you describe for us what daily life is like for citizens in southern Sudan?
Daily life?
Yeah, what do you do during the day? Yes.
We get together with the community, and also we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel to the community, and also we make rally in the square. Sometimes we make ecumenical peace prayer in the square. And that prayer will include the government officials, including the governor and ministers and all the different denominations. They come together in the square, and then we pray for them. We pray together.
I understand that this is a very diverse country as far as linguistics. There's many different languages. Does that pose challenges for you to communicate?
We do have Arabic language. All of us, all the different ethnic groups, they speak Arabic language.
And also
we understand each other. Like me now, I know Shuluk. Shuluk is a tribe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I speak with them. And some of them also, they know Nuer. So we don't have any complications in terms of coming together or in terms of communication. Mm-hmm. So we have no problem.
Is this part of Sudan rich in natural resources?
Exactly. I think South Sudan is the richest part of Sudan. We have oil, we have minerals, we have agriculture, we have fishing, and all these things. We have it.
The portion of Sudan that Bafel is talking about is between the blue and white Nile. It's where the two converge, and so it's a very, very fertile area. When we were there, mangoes are just growing wild on the trees and dropping off of vines, and it's just very fertile.
So do the citizens in southern Sudan have a good lifestyle and economy and level of living?
Yes. As a new nation, as a new country, the Republic of South Sudan, we are going to call it in July 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to establish a new life, a good life, because we are going to have our own resources. We are going to maintain it. We are going to establish schools for children, establish hospitals. So we have been at war for 50 years with those people. So we want to start.
And Sudan is bordered by what country, southern Sudan?
Southern Sudan is bordered by Uganda, Ethiopia, Kenya, Congo, Chad, and then Northern Sudan.
Does Southern Sudan have any ports to the oceans, or do you depend on good relationships with those bordering countries?
We are going to build relationship with that bordering countries, and may we go along with the northerners to continue with them, so that we may use Port Sudan.
And will you be involved in that level of negotiating?
Yeah, I'm going to be involved because we are peacemakers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we are building peace between northern Sudan and southern Sudan.
This is quite a success story, I would suppose.
It really is quite a success story, and it just can't beat the providence of God, because as Bafel comes to the United States, and as he finds his way to Peace Lutheran Church, and as we kind of open our heart and open our homes in service to him, and then he expresses his desire to be ordained as a Lutheran pastor, and we establish the Sudanese Evangelical Lutheran Church as a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have no way of seeing that God's going to use everything that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has done in this man to establish a Lutheran presence in the new nation of South Sudan. It's an amazing thing that God has done.
And could this relationship between Christians and Muslims perhaps spread to other places in the world?
Could the relationship between Christians and Muslims in Sudan become a model for relationships between Christians and Muslims in other places in Africa?
Exactly. It will be a model in Africa, because we have the same problem in Nigeria. So there's a problem between Christians and Muslims in Nigeria. And if we become a peaceful country in Sudan, Christian and Muslim, and then we become a good model in Africa and also in all over the world.
Dr. Belton, perhaps you can help me with this next question. It seems to us here in the States that, first of all, you can't paint all Muslims with the same brush. Not all Muslims are the same. But it seems to us here in the States that the peaceful Muslims can't control the extreme Muslims.
Yeah, well, the peaceful Christians can't control the extreme Christians either.
Ah, good point you make there.
So yeah, people will pretty much do what they do. But I think the opening of the dialogue will enable those that are less extreme at least to have some level of capacity to reach between the more extreme and the mainstream.
Pastor Dang, what do you see in the future for the Lutheran Church, the LCMS Lutheran Church there in South Sudan?
I think through us and through you, it will be huge. It will be the one that is going to be praised by the Southerners, because we are there in Sudan by working hard to establish LCMS.
And perhaps there are other Christian denominations there as well. Do the South Sudanese people comprehend the distinctions? What makes your church distinctively Lutheran?
Teaching.
Uh-huh.
Well, teaching is very strong, and also when we establish a church, we establish it with a school. We build a school. We build a clinic. And then I'm sure we influence people to come to our church by teaching.
And Dr. Belton, that's a model that's been a tradition in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Exactly, and he learned that model in his studies in EIIT, and so he's taken that confessional Lutheran model of working through education, and he's using that to plant and develop the Lutheran Church in Sudan. It's an exciting thing.
And when we talk about the Lutheran Church in Sudan, South Sudan, is that just one church, or are there several? Are we talking about a network of churches?
There are a variety of denominations there. There are Presbyterians, Buffalo, help me. There are Roman Catholics.
We have a bunch of them. We have We have Seventh-day Adventists and Evangelical Presbyterian Church. So we have a lot of them there.
The Nebraska district is working in some churches in South Sudan. The President Russ Sommerfeld was with us on a trip of the Nebraska district, was with us on a trip in 2005, along with Dr. Robert Ron, who is President of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, that's also doing some work in Yambio and Baguda. And so the Lutheran Church, I think, is emerging in the South Sudan.
Pastor Dang, I'm looking at some of today's religion news issues, and I'm wondering, in your free country, if you're going to have these kinds of issues. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a bid to display the Ten Commandments on the grounds of the Louisiana Capitol has been rejected by state senators who said the threat of a lawsuit was too high and the costs of such litigation would be too expensive. Do you anticipate any church and state issues in this new country of South Sudan?
Will the Muslims reject it if you want to put a cross up in the middle of the courthouse, or if you want to put the Ten Commandments up in the middle of the courthouse in South Sudan?
No.
Yeah.
No.
You don't think they'll reject that?
No.
Buffel said the kind of cooperation that they have will hopefully and prayerfully mitigate against any kinds of confusion like that.
Mm. Perhaps that could be a model for us here in the United States.
We've kind of lost our moorings just a tad. We're arguing over stuff that's simply not germane. You know, we do well to remember who we are as the United States of America and what God has established us to do. There perhaps is no other nation in the earth with Lutheran presence like the United States of America, with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that could have trained a man so well that he goes back to his country of origin and is elevated, like, for example, a Joseph that's coming out of Egypt.
And considering the fact that Washington D.C. didn't contribute to this, that the church helped initiate this change is remarkable.
Yeah, the church has always, God has established us to not be the tail but the head. I mean, the world, and we just need to re-embrace that. The world continues to spin because God is concerned about the elect in it. Once the elect, once the people of God are no longer present on the planet, God has no interest in this thing.
Mm. Pastor Dang, do you in South Sudan have some of the same cultural issues we're wrestling with here in the United States, like gay marriage, abortion, that kind of thing?
We don't hear it. We don't hear all these things. We don't hear gay issues. We don't have that. We don't have also abortion.
Yeah.
And we don't have that also.
Because we
see that when a lady had a child in a wrong way, she don't throw it away, but she looked to it that it's a gift from God.
Mm. So there's a high respect for life in South Sudan?
Yeah.
If you've been in war for 30 years, civil war for 30 years, some of the issues that we have the liberty of discussing in our freedoms because we don't have more pressing issues become non-issues, I think.
Pastor Dang, were there compromises made between South and North Sudan?
Pardon?
Were there some compromises that had to be made to make for the peace?
Yes.
Are there some things you had to give up that you wish you could have kept?
We will not give up. We are doing it practically, and we meet. Sometimes we make workshops, building peace relationships between South and North.
Our phones are open, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Two pastors on the line with us today, Dr. Victor Belton at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia, and Reverend Buffel Dang, Director of Religious Affairs for the Upper Nile State, representing the Sudanese national government, and he's also an LCMS-ordained pastor. And if you have any questions, give us a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Dang, people who you evangelize, do they carry some superstitions along into their new Christianity, their understanding of Lutheranism?
Where, here in Sudan? In Sudan? Or?
Yeah, in Sudan.
In Sudan.
Yeah, it is we. So when we came over here, we learned Lutheranism, and then it is we who will take it back and teach people with it. But we don't have a Lutheran foundation in Sudan. So in Upper Nile State, we have only one church. It's a state. It's too large. But we have only one room for Lutheran Church of Missouri Senate. So we are willing to establish more churches. That's why I'm now meeting with the church leaders here of LMSF.
It's interesting. Sudan is, the South Sudan is, what, 75% Christian?
South Sudan is 90%.
90% Christian. Then 5% Muslim, and then maybe only 5% animist. And so it's pretty much a Christian nation. Presbyterians probably are the dominant religion there. Did you say that?
No,
they're more Presbyterians or more?
No, maybe Catholic.
More Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm.
How did you become a Lutheran, Pastor Dang? Who influenced you?
Pastor Victor Beltrán. I came here. I was received by Pastor Victor Beltrán. I was coming with my kids, and also we have Sudanese immigrants living here in Decatur, Georgia.
Oh, you do.
And then I was looking for a place to worship God, and then I knocked the door of Peace Lutheran Church, and then Pastor Victor Beltrán opened me the door, and he gave me the sanctuary, he gave me the fellowship, he gave me everything to worship God with my community. And I was very interested in teaching, in preaching, in hearing how is Jesus, and then I decided to become a Lutheran.
So Pastor Belton, you have a vested interest in this success story.
We absolutely do. I do. I think our congregation and district does. Our entire synod, I think, has a vested interest because it's the work that God's doing in this season through all of us, kind of corporately working together and welcoming the nations as they come to the shores of the United States.
And Dr. Belton, have you had the opportunity to go overseas and visit there in South Sudan?
I went to South Sudan with Bafel in 2005.
Uh-huh.
with a delegation, and so have had an opportunity to go to South Sudan.
We're approaching a break. I'm going to give the phone numbers. And James, please hold on through the break because we're too close to take your question right now. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll return with Dr. Victor Belton at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia, and Pastor Bafel Dang, Director of Religious Affairs for the Upper Nile State, representing the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in South Sudan. Phones open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Ask the Pastor on the Bible Study, underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
I've heard business people complain that nonprofits don't respond in timely ways to needs and opportunities. I believe that's true. Concordia Seminary strives to instill responsiveness in our graduates. Responsiveness to the needs of congregations and responsiveness to the needs of our communities and world. Responsiveness is a seminary core value, and it's a Great Commission value.
This Father's Day, 16.5 million men in the United States will hopefully be celebrated for their voluntary role as stepdads. He didn't have to, but he took on the heroic challenge of your step family. He'll mentor, teach, and coach your kids. Hi, I'm Phyllis Wallace. The smart stepdad succeeds best when you're smart, too. Blended family expert Ron Deal helps with that. Next time, Woman to Woman.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Chances are you're not into heavy metal bands, but there's a popular metal band out there, and they wear the Christian label. Their name is Texas in July, and your children or grandchildren may be fans, but beware. They're currently on a charity tour that benefits a website on sex. I've checked out the website, and it's chock full of things true Christians strive to avoid. It promotes sex outside of marriage and abortion. Further, it's highly critical of pro-life women help centers that give pregnant women the resources to choose life for their babies. The site claims there are no psychological dangers to abortion and encourages youth to go to Planned Parenthood. If Texas in July wants to make a difference for America's youth, they won't be any part of promoting this website.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Southern Baptists and Homosexuality. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. The president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary says his denomination needs to repent for condemning gays instead of embracing them as fellow sinners. The Reverend Albert Moeller told the nation's Southern Baptists at their annual meeting in Phoenix that while they've been right to insist that the Bible calls it sin,
we have also exhibited a certain form of homophobia of which we must, absolutely must, in gospel terms, repent precisely because we believe in all the Scripture teaches about homosexuality and all that the Scripture teaches about sin.
Moeller said Southern Baptists have gone wrong when
we have said to people that homosexuality is just a choice. Well, it's clear that it's more than a choice. That doesn't mean it's any less sinful, but it does mean it's not something that people can just turn on and turn off.
He said the hard truth is
only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ gives a homosexual person any hope of release from homosexuality.
I'm Steve Coleman.
The prophet Habakkuk writes, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. I'll tell you how you can rejoice in a no matter what sort of way, coming up on Jubilation this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on listener-supported KFUO Radio.
This is John Fuller for Focus on the Family. Coming up this weekend, helping dads find a healthy balance between their careers and their families. Do you know the love language of your spouse? And why cheering the underdog can be a great thing? All that and more on the next weekend magazine from Focus on the Family.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
It's the Bible Study and Ask the Pastor on KFUO Radio. Our phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Victor Belton on the line with us in Peace Lutheran Church at Decatur, Georgia, and Reverend Bafel Dang, Director of Religious Affairs for the Upper Nile State, an LCMS-ordained pastor. And let's go to the phones. James, you're on KFUO Radio with our guests. Good morning.
Good morning. I have one question for Pastor Dang and a question for Pastor Bell.
Yes, sir.
I like the first question for Pastor Dang. I'd like to know what is an IDP camps and where are they located? And what is the impact of the rainy season on that particular area? And what is this water tax that is mentioned in regards to the rainy season? And for you, Dr. Belden, in the Senate, I was reading something about the Senate, and that there was prayers for servant leaders. And could you talk about what a servant leader is? I know within that prayer it quoted, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. Can you kind of talk about the servant leader posture and position in the Senate?
Sure.
And I'll hang up and listen. And it's always great to hear you. Hope to hear you soon.
Well, God bless you always. Great to hear from you, James. Thank you.
So, I didn't get the first question. The first question.
IDP? What are IDP camps?
IDP?
Yeah, internally displaced persons.
Internal displaced persons.
We visited an IDP camp that was north of Khartoum in 2005 when we were there. The northern government did when the refugees started coming out of Sudan in numbers greater than they could accommodate was they gathered them together in these internally displaced person camps. These camps were made of bricks without straw, literally. And so consequently, you can put mud in a form mud into a brick, and you can bake the brick. But then when the rainy season that James was talking about comes, it'll saturate the walls. And when these walls get saturated, the walls fall down on people. And so people escaped from South Sudan, were placed in these IDP camps, and were killed anyway by the falling walls of the mud huts that they were living in. And so it was really just an untenable position. The only option was that you could try to escape to the south, but then you have to go through the bush, and folks who did that tried to escape through the south had to fend with alligators and had to fend with crossing the river. It was just a terrible sin and travesty against humanity. That whole situation was just a travesty.
We're talking about Africa here, so we're talking about wild animals.
This is the Lost Boys of Sudan that are 8 and 9 years old, who are crossing the entire, and Sudan is the largest country in Africa. So consequently, if children are leaving the South Sudan and going to Egypt, which is north, they literally have to cross the entire state, the entire country of Sudan in order to get out. And many did not make it because they were captured, torn apart by lions or crossing the river by alligators or that kind of thing. It was a terrible time.
Mm-hmm. And then the question about servant leadership?
Servant leadership, there's a book by Robert Greenleaf, I believe his name is, around servant leadership and the way that Jesus exemplifies the fact that he who would be great among us must be our servant. And so I believe with President Harrison's witness, mercy, and life together emphasis, that in life together we appreciate that we are to serve one another. We are to have this concord and this koinonia and this love for one another that's promoted by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, so that our desire is to serve not only our Lord Christ, but also one another and the purposes of his kingdom in the earth. And so I think what we see emerging in the Synod is more and more of a servant leadership heart, and more of a servant leader desire, so that we are less and less desirous or more and more appreciative of the fact that actually the highest office is the office of servanthood. And I think that again, our President Harrison well exemplifies that in his foundational statements about our life together and about our koinonia and about his willingness and desire to serve the Synod, since we've elected him as the chief of sinners among us. I think that would be his phraseology.
So perhaps that's a model for what we should be doing in our churches.
Absolutely. It's a model for what we should be doing in our churches. It's a model for how Peace Lutheran Church then served the Sudanese Evangelical Lutheran Church. And it's a model of how Pastor Dang serves the folks of Southern Sudan.
Pastor Dang, you mentioned that now there's an overall peace after 30 years of civil war, but do you anticipate some clashes along the border along with that peace. Because there's a story today, the BBC has, that the South Sudan's army has clashed with northern troops in Abyei. How do you pronounce that? A-B-Y-E-I?
Sudan Liberation Army?
Days after a deal to demilitarize the disputed border area, there's apparently a clash going on. The northern seizure of Abyei town last month sparked fears of renewed conflict ahead of the southern independence in July. Earlier, the South's vice president told the BBC the North was pursuing a campaign of ethnic cleansing in the adjacent northern South Kordofan state. Tens of thousands of people have fled fighting there in recent days. Although South Kordofan is north of what will soon be the international border, it is home to many pro-South communities, especially in the Nuba Mountains, some of whom fought with southern rebels during the war.
Yeah, it is true. Before I leave South Sudan, coming to U.S., the northern groups went to Abyei and captured Abyei. It is true. Abyei by land is belonged to the southern Sudan.
Yeah, it says here that some 100,000 people fled fighting in this disputed region last month.
Yes, there's a conflict. There's a conflict in that region.
Uh-huh.
Because the Denka who lived there, they lived there with Arabs, and then they had an agreement with Arabs in 1905 that Abyei should belong to the north. That was an agreement, but in fact, Abyei is belong to south by land.
Hmm.
So Abyei now belongs to the northern area, to the northern Sudan, by agreement. So there is in protocol and in peace agreement in Persia in 2005, Abyei has own protocol, so that they are going to make referendum to decide whether they will be belong to. The Denka will be belong to the northern Sudan or to the southern Sudan.
So there's peace overall, but a delicate peace at that, and then it sounds like there's still more work to be done.
Exactly. So people are moving now, people are working now, mm-hmm. in peace in that region.
How do people in South Sudan get their news?
We have SSTV, Southern Sudan Television.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And are there a lot of folks with cell phones these days?
They have, I'm not sure, but we have newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
We have newspapers, daily newspapers in South Sudan.
The vice president of the soon-to-be independent Republic of South Sudan, Machar, is that how you pronounce his name?
Machar
has appealed to the United Nations Security Council to establish a buffer zone between the North and South Sudan.
Yes. He was here with us, and he met us in Nebraska last Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And I was with him, and this was his... He wanted UN to intervene between South and North,
mm-hmm.
in that region.
What effect did the civil war over that, you said 30 years, two decades or so of civil war, what did it do to the wildlife in South Sudan?
The civil war?
Yes. Did that impact the wildlife, the natural wildlife in
yeah.
South Sudan?
Yeah. It was too heavy because we had two civil war.
Mm-hmm.
First was in 1958 and ended in 1972 by Addis Ababa agreement, peace agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stayed together for 10 years. And then war broke out again, and then in 1983. And then that war became too heavy, displaced many people to the neighboring countries and to the United States and to the Australia and Canada and all these places. So the war was too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why wildlife, especially in South Sudan, I think moved somewhere to Africa.
Mm. So are the elephants and giraffes and such, zebra, are they coming back?
it might come back, because when, there, when there's peace, there's no noise in the, in the forest, there's no killing in the forest, they might come back.
Mm. Now, in your cities, are there any universities there in South Sudan?
Yes, we have Upper Nile University. We have, in Upper Nile, we have in Upper Nile we have one university. That is Upper Nile University. In Juba, we have one university. That is Juba University.
And can an average South Sudanese person get into a university, or do you have to be of wealth, a person of wealth, perhaps, to get into higher learning?
How much money does a family need to have in order to send their... Like, your Bafel has a daughter that graduated from Concordia in Seward, has another daughter that graduated from a local college here, and has a daughter in Concordia Bronxville, my alma mater. Would they have been able to go to college if you had not come to America?
At that time, we was at war.
Right.
So there's no schools.
But what about now? Would they be able to go to college now?
No, where? In Sudan?
In Sudan. Could you afford to send them to college?
Yeah, people go,
Yes.
Now, Pastor Dang, did you lose relatives to that civil war? Did you lose loved ones in that conflict?
A lot of them.
You did?
Yes.
And since, there's still a lot of... a lot of loss and a lot of mourning going on, and that makes that's why Bafel's task as this director is so important, because part of what he wants to do is open the communication lines between those who have been hurt, so that they can move on from the hurt and from the pain. So I think part of what Bafel has said is the Christians in the South can't hate their Muslim brothers from the north, because of what has happened. We now have to move together as one people
and heal.
As one Sudanese people. So it's almost like the internal civil war in the United States, isn't it?
And on a political level, Pastor Dang, what kind of presence does the United States have in South Sudan? What kind of influence does the United States intervene and get involved in your government?
Actually, if it is not because of United States, we don't have we have no peace now. So in 2001, 2009, during Bush ruling, so he intervened. He brought two groups together. He brought the president of Sudan and he brought the rebels from the southern rebels. And then he brought them together and they had a peace talk in Nafash and Nairobi, and then they had a peace agreement in January 9, 2005. Even Colin Paul, the former Secretary of State, was one of the witnesses who signed the agreement. So now the United States wants South to be democratic systems, adopt democratic systems, the way. So the same, we want to adopt the democratic system now.
I read one story that the Chinese government is apparently going to build a modern international conference center in Juba after the independence of South Sudan. So you're attracting interest from other countries, and will that help the local economy?
Yes. Now the new nation is open now. So any country wants to make relationship with the Southern Sudan, they are highly welcome. But we have to focus on U.S., mostly to take their models to adopt the system, the democratic system. So China and all other countries comes to us there in South Sudan, but we are going to consider the work that has been done by you, by the United States of America.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. You have an opportunity to talk with a pastor who is based out of South Sudan. And I guess you follow daily and perhaps throughout the day news that breaks on the SouthSudan.net website. Is that a source of information for you?
Yeah. SouthSudan.net, yeah.
And is it a pretty free press there in South Sudan?
I don't know where it's based.
Uh-huh.
Can the Sudanese press print anything they want, or will the government not allow the Sudanese press to print?
No, everyone wants to say anything.
So there's freedom of speech in South Sudan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So the South Sudan News Agency .com, that's they call themselves the leading independent news source. That's not a government run website.
Yeah.
That's not government run.
I don't think government has a lot of the news agencies.
Uh-huh.
The government has only SSTV, South Sudan Television.
I see.
But the rest are independent.
Okay. So SSTV is the government station.
The government.
I see.
But the rest are independent.
The rest are independent.
So, Pastor Dang, what do you see as some of the major challenges that you'll be dealing with in your own church there in South Sudan?
Yeah, the challenge is that the IDP people, those who have been in neighboring countries in Uganda and Kenya, Ethiopia and America, Australia, they are going home now. So they are going home now, and we don't have houses. Now they live in camps.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time to build homes, to build house. It will take some years to. 1 year to 2 to 3 years. So we don't have, we have only one church now in Open Island State. It's not enough. So now we are looking and we are planning to make another church in mm-hmm. Open Island State where I live.
You mentioned schools, and your hope to have more schools, perhaps, and to be able to teach young folks. What are some other forms of outreach that you can do right now with limited resources?
What are you doing now to preach the gospel to folks in Malakal and Sudan? What are you doing to make that happen?
We teach the children.
Yeah, is there a school? Is there a regular?
No, we don't have schools. We meet in the camps. We call it tukul. We made a local hut.
A local little grass hut.
And then we bring children there and we teach them.
Are there people on staff? So it's not just you then. There are others.
Yeah, we have others. We have some local pastors there. Local elders who mm-hmm. are not trained well.
That are Lutheran.
They are Lutheran there.
It sounds like a monumental task for one person. Yes, it's, doesn't it, Dr. Belton?
It's a pretty awesome task. And when you were talking about the university education, I my mind immediately went to seminary.
Uh-huh.
As well, and whether or not, I know that in South Sudan, the Lutheran Heritage Foundation with Dr. Ron was working on an educational complex that would house a primary school, a secondary school, and then even provide some education for Lutheran pastors, mm-hmm. and so perhaps in the north, that's a model that can be followed as well. The thinking about how to train more of the pastors in South Sudan.
Mm. Phil has a good question for you. Phil, you're on KFUO Radio with our guests.
Hi. There was a man in our paper here a few years ago, and he was an American, and he called himself the machine gun preacher. And he was over there in the Sudan and that area and trying to take children back by force and helping them out, and he was wanting money and things like this to help support his cause. I was wondering, does he help or is he hurting things over there?
Are you aware of the machine gun preacher, Pastor
Dan? I'm not aware of machine gun preacher.
You know what I noticed, Paul? And thanks for that question, Phil. You know what I noticed? I noticed all of these people who have all these videos and they're showing all of these crying children on television, and they're talking about all of the things that they're doing to say. I did, in the week and a half I was in Sudan, I did not see or hear not one other ministry in the South Sudan area. Not one. All that noise that people make about raising all that money for feeding the children and helping push back the tide of refugee and all of that, not one.
Hmm.
Not one. Not one single one. What I did see was a container full of clothes and shoes that had been sent by the Nebraska District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I saw with my own eyes that there were children who were clothed and had shoes because the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod sent that container.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Dang, perhaps there are listeners today that would like to support your efforts there, which truly is a grassroots effort in South Sudan. How can they connect with you when you're not here in the States? Do you have a website, a blog? Is there a way folks can donate?
Yes, I have a website, and I have my phone.
Also has an internet connect. He can be reached emailing him at bpdang, B as in boy, P as in Paul, D as in dog, E-N-G.
That's E-N-G.
E-N-G. At Juno.com.
At Juno.com.
And of course, PastorBelton.com has a page on our Sudanese ministries and how folks can engage with us and assist us in assisting Pastor Dang and the ministries going forth in Sudan.
Is your page an appendage of your Peace Decatur, Georgia website?
No, it's my own little personal piece.
Uh-huh.
PastorBelton.com.
It's PastorBelton.com.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
That's
okay. I'm going to post that on the website with the audio from this program a little bit later today.
All righty.
Both of you, I want to thank you for being with us today and telling us your story on Ask the Pastor. We appreciate you.
All our pleasure. Thank you. God bless you guys. Stay cool if you can.
Okay, Dr. Belton. And that's the Bible study. A little bit different format today, and I really enjoyed that. We learned something new, didn't we? Coming up next, we've got Moments of Assurance with Pastor Mark Hawkinson. Thank you for listening to Ask the Pastor on the Bible study, underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.